Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rudog Reyes on the RudogShow.com. This is a wild card weekend, one for the making. The last time these two teams met up, it was a battle in the first half, and then Andy Dalton went down in the second half. Steelers prevailed and basically took care of the Bengals in Paul Brown Stadium. With me to share this information, with me to share the feeling and what it took and how hard he played against the Cincinnati Bengals, welcome Bryant McFadden. How are you, Bryant?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic. Good to have you. I appreciate you taking your time out. Let's kind of jump right into this. This is a heated match. You played the Cincinnati Bengals on multiple occasions. What was it about playing against Cincinnati Bengals that just gave you fire and edge? You played against the Ravens. It was a smash mouth, you know, probably one of the most grueling, hard-nose-hitting rivalry in the NFL. What is it about the Bengals, since you played against them numerous times, being a two-time Super Bowl champion? What was it like being the sixth seed, and how'd you guys pull it together to make it to the Super Bowl and win it?
I think it was great for us to be the sixth seed because we were under the radar. You look at some of the elite teams in the playoffs during my rookie campaign, 2005, many felt like we were the only outsiders. Of course, we didn't even win our division, and we were in desperation mode probably, week 13, because we needed to win all the remaining ball games just to get into the postseason. And when we got in, we felt very, very confident, and we felt like the first round matchup against Cincinnati was a very, very favorable matchup because we knew them. They knew us very, very well. But even though we split that series during the regular season, we felt like we were a better team. And to top it all off, we know what all happened in that ball game. Carson Palmer went down with an injury. Kimo Von Oughlin came in with a tackle, wasn't in intent. Of course, he was just playing, you know, fast, hard football, and he went out with the ACL. And that's when that game went to another level, because instantly the fans, the players on the sidelines, the coaches, they really felt like it was intentional. Never the case. You know, Coach Kyle, he always taught and emphasized clean, hard football, and that's what we felt we did. And at the time when it happened, as a team, we were very, very apologetic of that incident, because we all respect what Carson brought to the table, and we all respect, you know, how hard it is for any professionals to go out and do their job. And we never wanted to see anybody go out with any kind of injury, especially an ACL. But when their players started to kind of, you know, talk trash about, oh, that was intentional, you guys are dirty, it was like we went from being in a sympathetic mode to going into a more defensive mode. Now, you guys want to fight, you're going to get a fight. We were very, very apologetic. We were saying sorry. We don't want to see that happening. Screw all that. Let's play football. Now, put your money where your mouth is.
You guys did a whole lot of that. Matter of fact, I watched that play. That was not dirty. Kimo was just in position. He was just trying to break through the line. He was just trying to sack the quarterback. Unfortunately, ACLs, MCLs, it all happens from day to day. Every given Sunday, there's an injury that's going to take down a quarterback, and you don't want that. Now, a rivalry renewed as the Steelers are sixth seed once again. It was even a different NFL, even when you played against the Cincinnati Bengals. What was it about that particular matchup that was unlike Baltimore's matchup, where you guys were almost a mirror image of one another on the field?
Well, the difference between Baltimore at that time, you know, when I was there in Pittsburgh, Baltimore was a team that was very, very consistent. And we felt like Baltimore was a splitting image of what we brought to the table. Outside of us having more Lombardies, they had the same identity. Team that played very, very consistent physical defense, ran the ball extremely well, and was a very, very well-coached group. Now, when you transition that to Cincinnati, Cincinnati has been a team that has been bad for a long, long time. They have been very, very inconsistent. And then when the Marvin Lewis era started, then we started to see more consistency. But we felt like Cincinnati wasn't quite on the same level when it was in the AFC North, when you talked about Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Cincinnati was on that outside looking in. But they talked a bigger game because we respect Baltimore. We don't like them, but we respect Baltimore because they have won. They have Hall of Famers. They're a winning organization. Now, Cincinnati, they have been losing for such a long time. It's like, why are you talking when you don't have anything to show for it?
you can talk all the smack you want on the field, but unless you're able to back it up, you may as well just shut it up and move on. And I believe that's why Baltimore was so much evenly matched in that regard to Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati. Remember when Kitna had taken the game over for Carson Palmer?
Yes.
I just shook my head and said, it's going to be a long day for Kitna out there under center. So
real quick story, though. During that game, the viewers and the listeners definitely will love this story. Real quick story, during that game when Carson went out with the injury, and of course, you know, John Kitna, who was the backup quarterback, he came in for them as the new starter. And during the TV timeout, I can remember it like it was yesterday. We were all on the sideline. It was a TV timeout. Well, actually, we was on the field. And James Ferrier, who we call Potsy, Pot Dog, you know, he's a smooth trash talker. He doesn't really raise his voice. He's a smooth trash talker. He told John Kitna, why are you coming in here trying to save the day? They tried to get rid of you anyway. And John Kitna's response was, get away from me, you're the devil. I'm trying to focus. I don't need to hear this right now. Please get away from me.
Well, Kitna still did not put together any type of drive consistently with that Cincinnati offense. Now, in today's matchup, this is very interesting because you have a very close, significant other with nobody right now winning the AFC North because their records are so evenly, you know, matched. Cincinnati having lost very key matchups, Steelers won key matchups, San Diego Monday Night Football won their last game against the Browns. Of course, you know, a lot of questions surrounding the Browns camp and head coaches, and it's just a big carousel, cueing the carousel music. And so now here we are again, wild card on the line. This game is probably the biggest that Pittsburgh fans and the Steelers have seen in a long time, and a lot of droughts because of the pass coverage or lack of pass coverage therein. How do you think the Steelers are going to get it done in that pass coverage in the secondary, which you know very, very well? Who's going to step up to make sure that Cincinnati doesn't capitalize on that pass coverage scheme?
I expect big games from Will Gay, Mike Mitchell. And I think most importantly also, I think the pass rush, that's a hand-in-hand relationship. I think if the pass rush is doing a good job putting pressure and collapsing the pocket on A.J. McCarron, a guy who's making his first postseason start, that will help the secondary out. It's a domino effect. You know, whenever you're able to make the quarterback uncomfortable, that helps. That helps a lot. That helps a lot. So I think, you know, outside of the individuals that I just mentioned, you know, the pass rush, Jarvis Jones, you know, James Harrison, Cam Haywood, these guys got to play big. They got to come up big because if you can make A.J. uncomfortable, McCarron that is uncomfortable, this is a guy that hasn't seen a lot of football. You know, he's making what, his fourth, fifth start, if I'm not mistaken, in his NFL career. So put this guy in vulnerable situations. Remember, the second meeting there in Cincinnati, when he came into the ball game, he started off a bit rocky. He threw a pick six to Will Gay, you know, had a few incompletions, and then he started to get more comfortable, and he was able to complete passes down the field. I think for Pittsburgh, they can't allow him to do that. Early on, disguise, put pressure on him, make him understand that this will not be a game where he's able just to sit back in the pocket and go through his progressions.
Right, and I really don't think that these guys are going to go away quietly. I mean, look at the opposite side of the ball for Burfict, who clearly states and undeniably just said that, I hate Pittsburgh, which basically gives the Steelers the ammunition from offense to defense. And I'll put it to you this way, this guy has been a bigger mouth on and off the field than I think he's able to replicate by backing up what he's talking about. So he may hate Pittsburgh, but how many times was he in and out of the lineup the last time this team met? You have to think about this. This guy's been out with neck injury after neck injury after neck injury. What do you think consistently Burfict's going to be able to do against the Steeler offensive line, which has allowed two sacks against the Bengals last game? How do you think they're going to
I think Burfict, most importantly for him, Burfict is a guy, he's the emotional leader on that team. You know, he's a trash talker. He plays with that nastiness. He's a very, very he's an aggressive player. And as a defender, you like that, especially at the middle linebacker. But he has to understand also, you can't allow your emotions to get the best of you, because in playoff games, you have to be flawless. You can't allow the emotions to create an opportunity for you to get a personal foul, do something stupid, put your team in danger with negative yards, or even get thrown out. Because the officials, they understand how intense this matchup will be. And with that being said, you gotta be the mature guy. Now, I'm not trying to give him any insight, of course, because I'm a Pittsburgh guy, but just looking from a fan perspective, you got to understand what type of game this is. Playoff football is totally different. Everything is intense. The players will move faster. Coaches will be on their A game. I mean, my first playoff game, I was amazed because everybody was telling me how intense this playoff game would be. And I was like, yeah, well, I've been playing an entire year. I went through preseason, regular season. It can't be that big of a difference. Lie. It's a big difference. I mean, it's almost flawless because every individual that has on a uniform or that is coaching on the sideline, they know one mistake can send you home. It's one and done in the playoffs. So with that being said, I think he just has to keep his head in the game because, you know what? Even though I'm a Pittsburgh guy, I love watching Perfect play. He's a very, very physical guy. You know, he's the type of guy you would like to have a part of your defense. But the negatives about Perfect is that he allows his emotions to get the best of him sometimes.
Right, definitely. And it sounds like it. This offensive line for the Steelers are going to have their hands full against a very nasty, hard-hitting, laundry-filled field that Cincinnati's going to bring. I mean, this referee set in a playoff contest is going to be very eagle-eyed. Are they going to miss some things? Yeah, sure they do. They missed all types of hard hits on Ben Roethlisberger in the backfield. No laundry filled for that. Some holding penalties they did not call. Of course, you can't catch everything. You're not going to catch everything, but your job there as a referee to make sure that the right calls are made. That crackback by Antonio Brown, that was not a crackback. He went down to the ground. The defender, the linebacker, excuse me, a DB, he flew over him. I thought to myself, this is going to be a long day for the Steelers because they were penalized more than Cincinnati once the entire game. So you're going to have to look at this from all different aspects. Let's touch on James Harrison for a minute. One of the most infamous Steelers to have been called back. Again, used to play for Cincinnati as a Bengal, and here he is in his second year, essentially, or 2 or 1.5 years, who has been the driving force. Off-season workouts, he posted all kinds of videos on Instagram. I mean, an unbelievable character from a physical standpoint, a personal standpoint. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy. What kind of game is James Harrison going to have to make in order to go out
I think James,
champion?
I'm calling for James to give me at least a sack and a half, at least minimum. I think these are the type of games where your five-star players will step up and defensively, like I alluded to earlier, for the secondary, for Pittsburgh's secondary to have success, they got to have great play from the front seven. And that, with that being said, number 92, James Harrison has been a very, very consistent pass rusher. He meant a lot to this team. That's why they acquired him back when they were ready to just to be done with him. No, he's still circulating around this team, and he's doing some good things. And I expect for James, like I said, a sack and a half at least. That's the minimum that I'm calling for number 92. Hopefully, he can prove me wrong, give me two or three, but at least a sack and a half, and continue to do what he's been doing his entire career, which is be a force to be reckoned with in the backfield.
He definitely has. He's been extremely consistent. He's headed into this game with stats that would just make people who are his age want to say, you know what, I just want to retire. I want to hang it up. I don't want to do this anymore. He's just one of those guys. And looking at it from an offensive point of view, Antonio Brown, man, touch Brown, hashtag, whatever you want to call it, this guy is explosive. He's done everything you could expect from a wide receiver, from being in the backfield to being in the slot to being on the outs. But this guy has an edge. Somebody who didn't vote made him not get an AP vote for being an all-offensive player. What was it about Antonio Brown, if you had a chance to meet AB or not, but what is it about him as a person that makes you believe that he's going to be the ultimate impact? I mean, he's going to let other people follow him. What is he going to be able to do in this game against this matchup?
Nobody
I know
can
he can
cover him.
cover him.
I think most importantly for Antonio, it's about Big Ben. Big Ben, you got to give Antonio at least 14 targets this game, double-digit targets, because we know they're going to try to double Antonio. Everybody has tried to double Antonio, but you can't stop Antonio. He has to continue to get his opportunities because you give him 14 targets. He's catching at least 9 of those 14 passes. That's a good percentage from a wide receiver standpoint. And one thing about Antonio that I love, of course, I was there his rookie campaign, and the first day I saw him, he was part of the same draft class with Emmanuel Sanders. The first day I saw Antonio run an out route, I was like, he got it. And certain players, young players, when you see them their very first day in OTAs, you really see, you know what? He's going to be special. And Antonio is so relentless. I mean, I was out in the at the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl last year in Arizona. And don't you know, during the entire week of the Pro Bowl, every day after Pro Bowl practices, Antonio went and did his own personal workout at night. Every day. Antonio worked out leading up to the Super Bowl every day. And we had lunch at the W there. And I was like, "Well, Antonio, what are you getting ready to get into?" He was like, "Well, B-Mac, man, I'm about to go get this workout, man." Like, workout? I'm like, "Tony, you just had Pro Bowl practice." "Man, I gotta get it, B-Mac, I gotta get it." He got that little hoarse voice. Sounds like he should be an extra on Sopranos or something like that. Man, I'm like, wow. But that's who he is. That's why he's so good at what he does. I mean, this guy works hard. I respect his craft 110%, and I root for him daily because I know what he where he has come to where he's going. It's impressive. Remember, Antonio was a fifth round draft pick. But what a lot of people fail to realize, his very first preseason game, this guy has been a playmaker since birth. Very first preseason game against Detroit, there in Heinz Field, took a 5-yard slant route, took it to the house for 70 yards. His very first regular season game in action against Tennessee on the road, week two, I think it was, first kickoff, he takes it to the house. This guy was a playmaker since birth, man, and hats off to him. He's a hard worker. And if he continues at this pace, he will go down as the best wide receiver in Steeler history. And he has an opportunity to be one of the best offensive players ever to put on a Steeler uniform.
Absolutely right. That's by far one of the best Antonio Brown impressions I've ever heard. And what's interesting was is I was at training camp last year and I almost got hit by him twice. I don't think he would have thought twice. I wouldn't have thought twice either. I would have just asked for an ice pack and sent me back on the sideline. Antonio Brown, 1,834 yards, 10 touchdowns. I mean, and that's just average, 13.5, 136 receptions. I mean, this guy, I mean, hopefully none of the Steelers go to the Pro Bowl. I'm saying it right now. I hope they don't because they deserve to be in the Super Bowl. Brandon Boykin, from a cornerback perspective, he was picked up, exchanged for a fifth-round draft pick, Philadelphia. He was sitting there on the sideline wondering, when am I going to play? When am I going to play? When am I going to play? He had a chance to play. He has been fantastic with the rotation ever since. I love Brandon Boykin. He's a solid corner. He's going to give so much more depth in the pass coverage situation against Cincinnati. And even moving forward, maybe into next year, hopefully they can rework some type of contract with him. But where do you foresee Brandon Boykin being in the nickel? So you see him on the inside, the outside.
I
What's
think he
your
fits
perspective
best
about
in the
Brandon
nickel.
Boykin?
I understand Boykin, he wants to be known as an all-around corner, which I think he is also. But in this scheme, in today's game, you have to have three quality corners that can play. And what you have from Boykin is something that I love. You get a chance to take Will Gay, who has been the nickel the entire season, for the majority of the season, move him outside. Now you get more consistency outside, and also you get a veteran presence in the inside. I think most importantly for Brandon, it was about picking up the system, picking up the scheme, because remember, they acquired him midway through training camp. So that was very, very difficult for a guy to come in and learn a Pittsburgh Steelers defensive playbook within a matter of weeks to be prepared to go for kickoff weekend. But right now, this is a critical time. Brandon wants to earn more money. Make a few plays here in January to February football. Don't worry, you have opportunity of really solidifying a huge payday.
He definitely does. I can tell you this much, just looking at him from a personal perspective, just a very solid guy. He's a solid person. He's going to be one of those shutdown corners if he keeps up his craft, keeps working hard. And in February, if they get to number seven, I expect some type of contract worked out for him. Last but not least, we're going to talk about the lack of rushing. Yes, I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell going to down against Cincinnati in their first matchup in the season. Secondly, without D'Angelo Williams and D. Will, one of those guys where he just absolutely is amazing for a 34-year-old guy coming out of the backfield, dynamic, and now a loss of him with Toussaint and Todman. Where do you give the Steelers an edge? Is it play action? Is it going to be using Will Johnson at the goal line? Where do you see the Steelers in
They
regards
got
to
to find a
establishing a
way.
running
They got
game?
to find a way. Even with D'Angelo healthy, the Steelers is a pass-first offense. We all know that. That is the strength. But now you take D'Angelo out, Cincinnati were definitely focused more on the pass. But I think with Toussaint Todman, their job is to protect the football, most importantly, and take what the defense has given them. We don't need them to go out and try to win the ball game. No, just be positive. Always fall for it. Take positive yards. Make it a manageable third down. Not necessarily manageable, but do what you do when you get opportunity to do it. Because the ball's going to be in Big Ben's hand. That's who we want to have the ball. But when they get their opportunity, we can't afford to have turnovers, and we just have to be positive with the yards that they get. I think these guys definitely as a tandem, if they can get around 85 yards together, that's a plus. I think that's a plus. That's all you need because this offense is explosive. And just make Cincinnati honor the run. That's it. Make them honor the run. Take a little pressure off Big Ben's plate, Antonio Brown's plate. Because if Cincinnati just have to honor the run just a tad bit, now the window is open for them to take shots downfield with the play action. And also, you don't you're not easy to predict on what you're going to do. Because if you're successful running the ball on P and 10 second down, now Cincinnati, they got to really go through their assessments. They can't just guess and guess right. So just be a factor when you get the opportunities, and most importantly, protect the football, because we all know in playoff football, mistakes leads to losses. That's easy. Easier said, and that's the matter of fact when it comes to any football game. But most importantly, when you're playing good on good, you can't afford to help the other team out.
Absolutely not. Costly interceptions have been, I don't know, as of late, Ben Roethlisberger's just almost a disarmament to say, Ben, what were you thinking? What were you seeing? You have to throw what the defense has given you. And Ben Roethlisberger threw some untimely interceptions late in the game. Okay, so the score was still two touchdown
Exactly.
lead, but you just can't do that. It's not something you can do. So what would be your advice if you had a conversation with Ben Roethlisberger
If
right
I had a
now?
who?
What would you tell him?
Man, do what you
Conversation
do
with
best,
Big
Big
Ben.
Ben. You grow the beard out for the playoffs. You do this all the time. You have been here before. You got one of the best wide receivers in the game. You got better one of the best deep threats in the game. Marcus Wheaton has become, he has evolved to be one of the best slot receivers also that we've seen in a long time. Hey, by the way, you got Heath Miller. You got everything you need outside of consistency and experience at the running backs. But you've been here before. At any time, if you were to tell me, Rudy, you're going to match Big Ben up against a rookie quarterback, I like that matchup. I'm taking Big Ben. Technically, I'm taking Big Ben against anybody in the
Yep.
playoffs. I'm sorry. I know I might be being biased, but I won two Super Bowls with the guys. So what else you want me to say?
Just being honest, and that's who you are, BMAC, Brian McFadden. Last but not least, your prediction. Where do you see the score going
AFC
at
North
the end of this?
matchup, playoff football, low scoring ball game. I see 20 to 13 Pittsburgh.
Nice. Okay. Well, I could take that. Mine was 24-17.
No question.
So, I'll take that either way.
Exactly,
But at
exactly.
least in the 20s, at least. Right on. Well, hey, thanks,
Anytime.
BMAC. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, and have a happy new year. And we'll be talking soon. Hopefully, Steelers get into the Super Bowl or into divisional.
Oh, no problem.
And
Thank you for having me.
thanks a lot.